final hour fist pump time on the Fan Cam Twitch and YouTube. Sean Shreef, RJ Choppy, Cowboys Insider Bobby Belt. We got Peyton and Caitlin in the back live on all the different ways to get the program loaded today with Mike McCarthy. He's been delivering here on the show. Diego Pavia, the Vandy quarterback for the Commodores and the Longhorns. Tomorrow, Matt Maiocco at 9:20 from San Fran, but the legendary voice of NBC Football Night in America, the Olympic coverage, is joining us right now on DFW Sports Station. It's Mike Tirico on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Guys, good morning. How you doing?
We're doing well. A little bit of a circus around here. Don't know if you've heard, been keeping up.
It's hard to avoid. Although I avoid most of the chatter on TV in the mornings about it. But, no, it's been hard to avoid. I was down there in the Metroplex on Tuesday. The World Affairs Council of Dallas-Fort Worth had a honor dinner. They have the Mallon Award they give out every year. About 1,200 folks were there. Liz Brailsford and the group do a wonderful job with that organization. And Clark Hunt, the owner of the Chiefs, who, as everybody knows, so prevalent in the Dallas area and the community. He was honored with the award, and I did an interview with him on stage and spoke the dinner. So I was in town on Tuesday morning. I just landed, actually, at DFW and listened to you guys with Jerry just to see if there are any fireworks to follow the fireworks of a week ago. So I arrived just in time to hear you guys all huggy and kissy, and everything was all good.
Mike, it's a give and take, right? There was an article that came out about the tours that are being given. You live
in
all the different facilities throughout all the years. The give and the positive is it creates the excitement. The Cowboys are the top story for 25 years, despite not sniffing a conference championship game. Do you believe in the negative in that a lot of these things adding up cause distractions that keep them from their ultimate goal?
There weren't distractions to win 12 games the last 3 years, right?
are you telling me it's
a distraction when Green Bay comes in and stuns you in the playoff, or is it a distraction when you can't get that last snap off in the San Francisco game a couple years ago?
Right.
So that was the difference in it? I mean, yes, it is different. Perhaps it has a cumulative effect on players who haven't been here before. But you know what you sign up for when you sign up with the Cowboys. Jerry has openly said on a regular basis, publicity is good. Sometimes it's not great publicity, but all publicity is good. He subscribes to that theory, and I think you said it very well. It has kept Dallas at the top of the food chain when they have not been at the top of the food chain in terms of wins and losses and championships, especially for the last quarter century. So this is what you sign up for. You probably make more money and are in a higher profile position in Dallas than you would be if you plied your trade in Jacksonville or Glendale or other outposts around the league. It's just a fact. So it didn't hold the team back from winning divisions and winning 12 games. Is there a cumulative effect? I'm sure there is. Well, you just have to then maximize it best you can and not make it a distraction.
Well said. Jerry believes one of his principles is, look, this fishbowl elevates everyone, right? This fishbowl, you practice in front of people and people are watching you work out in Oxnard, California. That elevates. I want to be on Hard Knocks. And we try to go back at Jerry and say, well, not everyone. Sometimes the pressure can crack certain people. You've covered athletes your entire life. What do you feel about Jerry's belief that, you know, just all this pressure is good?
So before, and the Cowboys have been a bit of a unicorn and an outlier in this. And I think, I'll answer your question specifically, then I'll make the general point. I think if you can handle the pressure around the Cowboys Monday to Saturday, you can handle whatever shows up on Sunday or in a playoff game or on a higher stage. I believe that. Used to be a time where certain guys couldn't play in New York, especially in baseball. Mm-hmm. I think that theory has moved around the country now to the high-profile franchises, right? Because you know, you can have the biggest stars in the league all across the country. So I think the pressure and the celebrity factor follows athletes now, whereas it used to only get it in one of those northeast cities where there was just a harder edge and more tabloid coverage of teams. But I think you know what you're signing up for. Like I said before, it's fine. Look, you go through these weeks in Dallas. You go through Oxnard. You go through all this stuff this week. You go through the stuff that was percolating around this show. You think for a second all the people who play for the Cowboys weren't asked, hey, you know, did you hear the Jerry dust up on the radio with the guys? Right? That's just part of what this is. And it should, in some ways, harden you. And if it's not for you, you shouldn't be there. Now, that doesn't mean it's the perfect place. Right now, Kansas City has the right mix of everything. They are as high a profile team as any in the league. Their national ratings are higher than Cowboy ratings right now. But when you go to Kansas City, you still feel like you're kind of sheltered from things a little bit.
Yeah.
Dallas chooses to be out front. It's why Cowboys travel everywhere. Every place you go, the Steelers and the Cowboys are the two franchises that never play road games because their fans are everywhere. And it's just part of, you know, life is a series of trade-offs. This is the give and take. You want to be a Cowboy, you want to play for America's team, you're going to have more distractions than if you were a Cleveland Brown.
Yep.
Mike Tirico, Sunday Night Football, joining us here, 105 through the Fan. Are you more surprised the Cowboys are 3-3 or the way they've gotten to 3-3?
Good question. Maybe the way is probably better to look at it. I mean, because really, you look at it, they've beaten one decent team, and that's Pittsburgh. And Cleveland's not good. The Giants, they're not good either right now. You know, I thought there were more pieces there. I thought the Giants were better after we saw them against Cincinnati, and the offense was just struggling. But against Philadelphia, they didn't look good at all. Dallas has beaten one good team, and that's Pittsburgh. And you know, if not for Dak not carrying out the fake and standing there to fall on the ball at the goal line when Alandon Roberts flew over the pile, they would have lost that game too.
Yeah.
So I don't think the team has been as good as it can be. What are the issues? You can't run the ball. I mean, we could parse this in 60 different ways. When your longest run is 13 yards and it's October 25th, that's bad. And then on the other side of the ball, just this simple stuff. When only one team has given up more points than you, that's bad. There are a variety of reasons. Obviously, you take the two best edge rushers off the team. You take a corner who had all those picks last year off the team because of injury. You're not getting the turnovers. You've got the natural defensive changeover when it goes one coordinator to another. These guys fit the scheme. Jerry kind of alluded to that with you guys when you were asking about personnel and trade deadline, seller, buyer. There was like the back end buried in his answer, but I thought it was an interesting sentence out of that conversation that you all had with him on Tuesday. You know, you start seeing, well, these players fit Dan Quinn's philosophy and approach. Maybe some of them aren't the best fit where they're learning how to fit Mike Zimmer's approach. All that.
Yeah.
So there are reasons, no doubt about it, but it's an average football team right now, exactly where they are record-wise, with only one good win in the first six games, and you need more than that to be there in January.
Mike Tirico, the play-by-play voice for Sunday Night Football, joining us here on 105 The Fan. So you guys just about a year ago had the Dallas-San Francisco game.
Yeah.
That was obviously a brutal showing for the Cowboys. It kind of turned into a pivot point for them.
Right.
When you look at where things are at now, just knowing back then and where the team was at in terms of their mentality about the 49ers and how much they were chasing them, how big of a boost do you sense that winning this game could be a psychological, you know, boost for this Cowboys team right now that's struggling if they were able to finally beat San Francisco?
It would be huge. Remember, the game after the big loss here was a Monday night game. I'm almost sure it was at SoFi.
Chargers, yep.
Against the Chargers, right? And Aubrey kicks a field goal in the last few minutes of the game, win by three, then the bye week. And then the team takes off. There was a loss there, Philly, I think. But then there's like that run where you went all the way to mid-December winning games, right? One loss from the bye till middle of December.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this could be a huge pivot. Here's what I think is bigger. This game could be a head-to-head against the team you're fighting for a wild card spot with.
Mm.
And that might matter the way this NFC is bunched. I think the NFC North is good. I don't know if Chicago's going to have the staying power. I think the other three teams will. Washington and Philly look okay. Washington looks okay right now. But look, any one of those teams can be beatable if Dallas can get healthy and get its act going. You might be battling the San Franciscos and the Seattles and the Rams for that last wild card spot. So I think in addition to turning the season around and getting good momentum going, I think this is a huge game for the head-to-head part of it because you both might be in that same spot coming week 17 and 18.
Mike, has San Fran taken a legitimate step backwards, or do you believe that they're still scary?
I don't think they're as scary when they're lining up Chris Conley, Jacob Cowing, and Ricky Pearsall at wide receiver.
Yes.
You know, just the fact. I mean, you know, let's start taking the top three receivers off the team and the offensive player of the year in the league.
Yeah.
When you take Christian McCaffrey out of the lineup for the first half of the season, you take away more than a running back and stats. You take away the ability to disguise personnel. How many plays that McCaffrey is split out or you move him in the formation that attracts attention, and then Deebo Samuel beats it, or Ayuk gets one-on-one coverage, or Kittle gets down the slot. Now you take some of those pieces out, and now Ayuk's gone for the season. Who knows what McCaffrey's going to be if he comes back after the bye. And you've got a lot of the key pieces of this thing out. Yes, Jordan Mason, the running back, has come in, and he's second to Derrick Henry in rushing yards and in rushing attempts. So you're getting the production stat-wise, but you're not getting the production in terms of offensive flexibility and a dynamic offense. So I don't think this is the team that we saw last year. And with the Ayuk injury and the uncertainty of what McCaffrey's going to look like if he comes back after the bye week for them, I don't know if we're going to see them at full strength at any point during the season. So they're not as lethal and scary on offense as they were that got them to the Super Bowl last year.
Mike, what's your take on Brock Purdy and, you know, signing him, not signing him? There's a lot of narrative around, you know, is he a system guy or is he a really good quarterback? Where do you fall and how do you look at narratives like that about a player who just wins games and puts up numbers but isn't a high draft pick?
Would Patrick Mahomes be great in Jacksonville or in, I'm trying to think of a team that has a, with the Giants. The Giants are good because the Giants' offense is struggling here. Would Patrick Mahomes be great there? I don't know. I know he's great in Kansas City system, and he learned in the system for a year and grew. I think if you took Patrick Mahomes somewhere else with an offense that's not the mind of Andy Reid, he'd still be very good, just like Brady was very good when he moved him to Tampa. But who knows if it's the perfect fit, right? Sometimes the system is there, and then it morphs and melds to the talent of the individual. So that's my way of saying I think Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. I do. So here's an anecdote that I think will answer the question better than I can. We talked to DeMarvion Overshown yesterday, I think it was. My days are running together here. I think we talked to him yesterday just in preparation for the game, and he played Brock Purdy four times at Iowa State when Overshown was at UT. And you know, he went 3-1 against him. And he said from his freshman year, when Texas had everything to play for and Iowa State had very little to play for in terms of postseason and Big 12 and all that stuff, he said the guy was a gamer and he was a competitor, and every year you could see he got better. So I'll take it from the guys who were on the turf inside the lines playing against him. I've always liked what I've seen from him skill-wise, ability-wise. Sure, the system helps him. But if the system's still going to be here, then you want that guy here. Otherwise, Trey Lance would be playing or somebody else would be playing. Brandon Allen, who's their backup now, Joshua Dobbs. Lance was here a couple of years ago, obviously. So I think he's a guy who you obviously pay. Now, do you pay him as the highest paid player in the NFL? No. But there's a $40 million Daniel Jones type deal out there that this guy is more than deserving, if not more. I don't get lost in the pennies of the cap in the comparative. Is he the number one paid guy? Probably not, but should he be here for a long time as their quarterback? Yes, and that means that their window is going to change when he gets paid that much, just like it's impacted Dallas's roster construction with Dak and CD getting paid what they're getting paid.
They continue to absolutely dominate. Sunday Night Football is averaging 22 million viewers across NBC and Peacock. Primetime's number one show on pace for an unprecedented 14th straight year in doing it. The great Mike Tirico, we love having you on. Thanks for listening to what could have been our final show last Tuesday. And have a great call.
Very, very well done. You, by the way, just as a guy who's on your side of the mic for most of my life, I thought you guys handled everything really, really like well, like perfectly, like well done, well played, all the way around. That's what makes your show good, is when people listen because they don't know what's going to happen next. And good on you guys, and continued success going forward.
Thank you, Mike. That's a goosebump compliment coming from you. Have a great call. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, man. Be well. Have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself.
Mike Tirico on the D&M Leasing Hotline. All right, now let's figure out who's actually not going to play for them to see how much hope we should actually have. Matt Maiocco, San Francisco insider, joins us for the 49ers Scoop after this.